Now, would you like to have your Bibles open? I'm going to take this morning's message from the three readings, so you'll have to be willing to move with me through the scriptures. But if you have your Bibles open at the very beginning, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to be speaking first of all on that text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So this morning, a message for the new year. And next week, as I've already announced, we'll return to our series in Galatians. But I want to preach a message that I hope will stay with us, not just this morning or today, but throughout the year. So it's something that you can actually keep your eye on. And I'm going to speak on newness. And I think that newness is something that all of us understand. We have a new year, which is probably already filling up with new plans and new desires and new aspirations and new expectations and so on. I'm sure each and every one of us have got new designs for our life this year in 2014, and much of that, I'm sure, will be very good and healthy. Newness is an exciting thing. I come from a generation where, believe it or not, this is true, when you were taken for new clothes, you were taken for new clothes once a year in the summer. That was the time that you went for new clothes. I don't know what that was about, but anyway, new clothes in the summer. But of course, now people have new clothes all year round, new houses, new cars. It generates excitement. I'm sure that one of the things, of course, about newness is the novelty of the thing. And as you grow older, of course, one of the things that you learn about newness is that novelty very quickly drains away. And so it's not always so exciting. It's also important to remember that new is not better than old because it's new. Old isn't better than new because it's old either. It's really important to think about these things. But it's indisputable that we are drawn to newness. We find it attractive. We find it exciting. We don't find it difficult at all to actually, in many ways, cope with newness. We get by. And it's only probably someone like me with the newness of the technological age. There are a few dinosaurs like me around on the planet who cope very difficultly with newness. With regard to technology, most of us get on with newness very easily. And it's probably the way that we are wired. It's the way that we are made. If we go back to the founding of the Americas, what did they do? The old Europeans, they went to that new world and they called their towns and cities New York. They called it New Hampshire, New England, New Haven, New Holland. It was the newness of the thing. They weren't afraid to embrace newness. And newness gets the idea across to us of not standing still. It gets the idea across to us of progress. And when we think about God, of course, and we think about what he reveals of himself, of course, we can't take away from God the idea of newness. It's not surprising that the Bible is full of the concept, the idea of newness. It tells me that God is not standing still. And I haven't got the time this morning to go into the detail of the fact, of course, that there's nothing new to God. There can't be anything new with God. It's an impossibility. There is newness in his revelation of himself to man in the history of redemption. That is new, but not new to himself, for all things are known to God, the end from the beginning. And I would draw your thought this morning to what I consider to be three vital things about newness. Newness gives the idea of before and after. There can be no doubt in the Bible that with God there is a before and after with regard to his dealings. This is what I did before. This is what I do now. There can be no doubt about that. God does new things in our world. When Jesus came to the world, they said, "What is this new teaching? Ah, they recognized it. Never seen it before. Never heard it before. And some of you, for the first time this year, you might say, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. I heard it as if it were a new thing. I never heard it before. Because it's always been said, but you heard it for the first time as if it were new. We read about new wine in new wineskins and new commandments and a new covenant. We read about new heavens and a new earth. We read about a new song and new names. All of this newness comes up in the Bible. And so, therefore, the Bible is extremely relevant. And the message that it brings is extremely relevant to us. So I want to use these three texts this morning. I want to use them for a help to us in 2014. I want to use them so that they might be, as it were, used for self-diagnosis in 2014. But more importantly, best of all, I want to use these texts now so that you can decide for yourself, am I a Christian or am I not? Upon this question rests the issue of eternity. Am I a Christian or am I not? So we turn to the first text. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. I like the old authorized version. I'm stuck with it in my brain. It's wonderful. But here it is in the NIV. There, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. Now, you see immediately that the ones who Paul is speaking about, what is new to them is about their proximity to Christ. So you can lay on eye lotions and skin lotions all you like, and you can dye your hair, but it'll still be the old skin and it'll still be the old hair. It won't be able to be changed. It will only have the appearance of change. Its original colour will always be there, or if it's changed from its original colour to grey, you're stuck with it unless you're prepared to go about dyeing it. But it will still be the same old hair. And it is interesting, isn't it, that when it comes to our bodies, the thought of newness is a very desirable thing. I think Steve may well be going to have a knee replacement at some point. But it won't be a new knee. It can't be a new knee. It's a knee replacement. And if you have a face job, it's not your face. It's a replacement of something that you already had. To be at close proximity to Christ is to be so near to him so as to be made new. To actually become new. The authorized version, as I say, says a new creature. A new being. The authorized version says the new, I love it, it's blunt, the new has come. If any man is in Christ, the new has come. You may, not against any of this, but you may pour a bottle of dye on your hair and you look at yourself in the mirror, the new has come. But you know full well that it's really not the new, not at all. But here we're talking about the new has come. This is not replacement, this is newness. And the text says, and I love it, the old has gone. The old has gone. It means simply this, that if we are outside of Christ, we do not know him as our Lord and Saviour, and all we have to live with is the old. All we have about us is what our parents gave to us. All that we have is fleshly, nothing that is spiritual. And it may be hard for you to face up to it this morning, that all you have, after all your years of life, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, is the life that was laid down by your parents. It means that sin still remains. God is not reconciled. It means that you're estranged. It means there's nothing but oldness about you. Isn't it funny how remarkable we are about our concern about looking old? How it bothers us so very greatly. And yet the old nature doesn't seem to bother us at all. And here is the promise and the truth that God makes new. It means that when we come to Christ, old opinions go. Old opinions, old views, old plans, old desires, old principles, they die. Old affections, they die. This is what the new life gives. To become a new creation in this life means that the Lord gives us new manners. He gives us new behavior. He gives us new horizons. This is what it is to be a Christian. One of the most wonderful things, I think, is that when you become a Christian and you become a new creation, it gives you a love for God's people. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To become a Christian and to come to love the people of God, to love His church, to have completely new associations, to have new friends, so that the things that Jesus Christ is interested in, you are interested in. This is the mark of the new creation. So proximity is the key to newness. And of course, as you read it, it's easy to get lost and to start to think, right, what will I do to actually bring on this newness? You notice that it's not about knowledge. Knowledge is nowhere mentioned. Oh no, it's not about head knowledge. It says if anyone is in Christ, the proximity is such that you have to be in Christ. You have to be joined to Him. You have to be so close to Him that your life is one with His life. That means it's not about background. That means it's not about externals. It's proximity to Christ. Not something I do or something I don't do. Some people will say, I don't feel near to Christ. What has that to do with it? I don't feel near to Christ. What has that to do with it? The Bible is almost silent about feelings. It's as if the Bible has no interest particularly in feelings. It's not about what you feel about being near to Christ. It's whether you know you are near to Christ. Are you in close proximity to Him in relationship? It's interesting this morning that many of you will probably be more interested in your feelings than you will be in the facts and the truth. The fact is you either know Christ because you are in such close proximity to Him, or you do not. This morning, I want everybody to know the Saviour. I want everybody to be the new creation. I want everybody to be a new creature in Christ. I don't want some of you, but all of you. Are you in such close proximity to Jesus Christ so that you are in Him? Not that you've done this and done that and done the next thing. Are you in Christ Jesus the Lord? If you are, you can say I'm a new creature as I move into 2014. God has made me a new creation and you know it. If all that's ahead of you in 2014 is the old life, look in the mirror at yourself, just the old life. Forget the wrinkles and all of that, you can't do anything about it. But all that you're looking at is the old life. This morning, today, the beginning of 2014 can be a new life. You can become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. I repeat it, I cannot make it more plain. It is proximity to Jesus Christ. If you are so close to Him, joined to Him, by faith, by believing Him, having repented of your sin, you will become a new creature in the Lord. Well, God bless His word to us and make it to be true, not just for some of us, but for every one of us. Now, if we turn to the verse in 1 Peter, if you just flip over the page. 1 Peter 1. Well done, everybody. It only takes a few moments. The third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. That's the point. Now, at the center of biblical Christianity is this truth. You can't get away from it. It is that God wants to put things straight with us. I choose my words carefully, and I make no apology for using them this morning. That God wants to make us straight. He wants to run the rule over us. This is the whole idea of justification. This is what you used to get with an old typewriter, a justifying edge. God wants to make us straight because he knows that sin has made us crooked, and it goes on making us more and more crooked. And yet year and year out, as we watch it rule in the world and as we watch it rule in people's lives and as we watch it making us even more crooked, we still can't find the answers. It bends us and it deforms us. And the biblical message is that Christ comes to straighten us up. I've used it before, I tell it you again. That old picture of William Tecumseh Sherman going to the South and winning the Civil War, in effect, for the North. All the railway lines, they were called Sherman's neckties, the railway lines, because he took the railway lines and he bent them like neckties. He said to the South, now use them again if you can. And they couldn't. They were bent out of all proportion. It's a great picture. If you see the pictures from the Civil War of the railway lines bent like neckties, it reminds me of what a sinful life is like. A bent person made straight is at the heart of the gospel. It's not to set out a code of rules for him to make him straight. How often can I say this to you and beg you to not believe that any code of rules to do this or not to do that, that this might somehow affect you. To design a course that you might attend yourselves to, that might bring about the straightening of your life. If I could get you to agree to every detail, cross every T and dot every I, that might somehow straighten you out. Get you committed to church attendance, to edicts and rules. Perhaps that might do it. The one thing about all these things is that they're typically not found in the Bible. They're typically not found in God's Word. They are found in churches. And they are found, of course, on the lips of men. They are the construct of men. Listen to me carefully. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Your ways are not my ways. I do things different. I straighten people out who are bent, but I do it my way. Listen up carefully. The Lord does it inwards, outwards. Men always do it outwards, inwards. Always. So the Lord says, right, I'm going to do the business of straightening you out. And some of you this morning, you can recognize your fault, you can recognize your sin, but the question that you probably ask is, how will I be justified? How will I be straightened out? How will I stand before a holy God? How will I be right? Where will I begin? How will it be done? The answer is in an entirely new life. It needs to begin with a new life, a new beginning, a new start. So the Bible calls it a new birth. This is what Jesus was driving at. You need to be born all over again. You need a new life. You were born in sin. You live in it. It's inescapable. It's all pervasive. It respects no man. It will kill you. And therefore, It's not rules and edicts and external things that you need that will actually only bring on guilt and shame and failure. It's a new life that you need. And the only way to answer all of this as a bent life is to have it straightened out by God. We need it from within. And so this morning, I'm saying to all of you, not some, but to everyone, we need to look no further than the text. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given new birth. What a wonderful thing that is. So I can tell you that I can't give it to you. I can say to you that Trinity Evangelical Church has no power to give it to you. No, because the text says God gives it in his mercy. And since he is a God of mercy, all you need to believe this morning is in the God of mercy. Can't you fall at his feet and say, God, in your mercy, would you in mercy give me this new birth? Sin's bent me out of shape, but I would be straight. Because if you don't want to be straight, I can't do anything for you. There is no helping you. There is no future for you. There is no heaven. There is no forgiveness of your sins. Because you will remain living as a bent person. God says, I'll straighten you out. I stand here waiting to straighten out any who will come to me. The only way to start is not with you, but with God. He gives the new birth and he gives it in mercy. Now, if I tell you that he is merciful, and he is, and that he administers the new birth, and he does, why wouldn't you go to him? Why will you perpetuate your own works and your own efforts and your own duties and this, that, and the next thing? A new birth is a new spiritual life. And you'll know it as soon as you have it, because God imparts it. I was talking a few months ago about looking in the mirror. When you look in the mirror the next time, you're looking at a dead person. I say, forget the wrinkles and all the other stuff. You're looking at a dead person, spiritually dead. No life in you. For you to become a Christian, there must be a point at which God comes into your life, and he comes into your life by what we call the new birth. And I repeat this. How often can I say it? No do's and don'ts. No filling in forms. There's nothing. I don't ask anything of you. I ask only of you this, that you would know your sins, that you would know that sin has bent you and shaped you, that you are without God, without the Holy Spirit, without Christ. And I come to you, Lord. I come to you in your mercy. And I plead with you, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we look back over the life of Christ, those who came to him and simply fell before him and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. How gracious, how kind, how loving, how quick, how attentive to deal, because he is so merciful. This year, 2014, will certainly just dish up the same old menu. Of course it will. Apart from the new birth. For you, if you're not a Christian, all you have to look forward to in 2014 is a repeat of 2013. If the new birth comes, then of course we'll be able to say that we can walk with the Lord in anticipation in the new year. This church can't give it you. I'm glad to say that. I can't do it for you, but Christ in his loving kindness can. And he gives it to all who attend upon him. The text says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given. He has given. So if he gives, why wouldn't you go to him to receive it? Now, I put pressure on you, only like this. The only reason you don't go to one who gives is because you don't want him to give you. You prefer to live with your bent life. You prefer to live with your crooked life. You prefer to live with sin as your master, when in fact you could go to the Saviour. And even this morning, you could become a Christian. Well, may God speak to us through the truth of his word. Here is newness. Here is newness. May it stick with us for the coming year. Well, now the final text is Ephesians 4. And you can turn to it if you will. Ephesians 4. And I like to just read these verses 22 to 24. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, such a person as I've described is a Christian if he or she is a new creation. And that person is a new creation if they have the new birth. The new birth is God sovereignly coming to the soul. He alone can bring it. And we can explain it like this. He brings life where there is only death. He brings sight where there is only blindness. He brings hearing where there is only deafness. He gives a new tongue where there is only dumbness. Only God can regenerate the dead. No one else can. So a new creation, a new creature is formed by God giving the new birth. And we're glad to reiterate this and to show that God alone has the power to breathe on us and to say live. And he does. If this is his work in the making of an individual into a child of God, what then is there for the child of God himself to do that's new with regard to this new year? Paul speaks about what that renewed man or woman must do, and it's in the reading that we have just had. And we should just concentrate, if we can, and you can have your Bibles open at this 22nd verse. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. This is what the renewed man or woman must do. This is not to be saved, this is because they are saved. This is not to become a new creature. This is because I am the new creature. This is not so that I can bring on the new birth. This is because I am born again by the Spirit of God. He speaks about a way of life which they have learned in the 20th verse. Notice this, that then when they heard about Christ, they were converted and then they were taught in him. They're not left to themselves. The verse says they were taught in him. And so anybody who's become a Christian needs to be willing to be humble, to be taught in the things of Christ. I repeat, they were not left to themselves. The idea that I can just stay at home and read my Bible by myself and be a quiet Christian and just pray along on my own, and that everything will be wonderful, and I'll go to heaven, and I'll be pleasing to my Lord. It's just not possible, because the scripture says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. I insist on it in the Lord, the Apostle Paul says. So they were not left to themselves. He speaks about a former way of life. And so I can say to all of you, if you've become a new creature, you have had a former way of life. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God, you have had a former way of life. My former way of life lasted up until I was 20. Some it lasts until they're 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. But in every case, listen carefully now, in that former way of life, there was a life learned. A life was actually learned. Manners were learned. Behavior and philosophy. A thinking was laid down. In the culture, in the country, in the background, in the family in which we grew up. Very often, that was laid down by our parents and family and by tradition. So Paul says, a life learned. I like to put it like this. Cut your life open. Imagine it being like a cake. And look at all of the layers as you look down that cake. One of those deep cakes. Look at all of the layers. The days and the years and the voices and the ideas and the instruction. Layer after layer after layer, year upon year, day upon day. What my dad said, what my mum said, what my aunt said, what my teacher said, what school said, what society did. It was this life. We learned it. Paul speaks about a former way of life. It's not uncommon to find this. Someone says, I do what I do because my granddad did it that way. You'll hear Christians say this. My dad did it that way. It came down to me. It was passed on to me. Now, I want to say this to you very carefully this morning. I don't care what your granddad taught you. I don't care what your father taught you. I care about this. When they taught it you, was it in accord with the teaching of Jesus Christ? Because if it wasn't, it's for the tip. It's not worth anything. If it was not in accord with the teaching of Christ, be done with it. I loved my granddad. Wonderful. Fantastic. Go on loving your granddad. But the things that he taught you in this area, to the rubbish heap with them, because they're not in accord with Jesus Christ and his teaching. I don't want my children, my sons, to invoke my name and say my dad did it that way if it was wrong. If it was against the teaching of Jesus Christ. In 2014, if you're a Christian, you have to put on the new self. The old self has to continuously be removed. The new self is being created in the likeness of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And you can do this really easily. It's the idea of undressing and dressing. If you're a true Christian, you're always in the business of undressing those parts of the old life and being rid of them and redressing yourself with the new man. When you were an unbeliever, maybe you were given to bitterness. Put it off. Put it off. In your former way of life, in your old life, you may have been given to self-centeredness. Put it off. In your old life, you may have been harsh in your manners. Put it off. You may have been soft on yourself. Put it off. Put it off. Put on the new man. Every day, this year, when you get up and you dress yourself, you clothe yourself. I don't know how long it takes. Some people, it takes a long time. I often think the ladies must take a long time in dressing. I'm really fast. All the kids are here, I've told you before. Always my shirt inside my jumper. All the buttons done up to the last two. Get dressed as fast as possible. So that's my technique. Everybody's different, I know that. But anyway, we've all got to get dressed. So we can remember. We can think about this message this morning. What must I deposit to the rubbish heap this year when I get undressed? Remind myself. What must I put on of the new man? Be careful that the only things that you put on are the things that your mother gave you, your dad gave you, that nature. If that's all you've got, what have you got? Next to nothing. You're a new creation if you're a Christian. You're a new creature. Then clothe yourself with newness. Clothe yourself every day with this newness. As night follows day, I promise you that there will not be a day, there will not be a moment when you dress yourself, when you will not be able to think about the things that need putting off and the things that need putting on. If the work, as Paul puts it, is as clear as that, and you're a Christian, get on with it. Be about the business. If you've been lax in much of your Christian life, it will show. Start the new year. Be willing to look at your life. If you're a true believer, you're a new creation. You have the new birth. Here is a new day. Here is a new opportunity to put off the old and to put on the new. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You'll be able to do it with his grace and with his tender mercy and with his loving kindness. He'll help you all of the way and you'll be all right. He'll never leave you and he'll never abandon you. Just fix your eyes on him. He's given you your new birth. You're in close proximity to him. His arms are always around you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to be all right. But mean business with him in 2014. Put off. Come on. Let's be in the business of putting off. Whatever needs to be put off, let's start putting it off now. And what needs to be put on, get on with putting it on. And the benefits of that will be shown in your life. And you will know it. You won't need me to preach about it. I've done it poorly this morning, I'm sorry. But may God bless the truths of these things this morning to our hearts and help us in 2014. Amen. Amen.